Would you turn with me in the Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 1? 1 Timothy chapter 1. We understand that Paul has written this letter. It says in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus. Verse 2, to Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace and peace, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, as we move to verses 3 and following, this is the section we want to kind of zero in on this morning. As I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. But the goal of our instruction is love. Love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussions, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions. But we know the law is good, if one uses it lawfully, realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous person, but those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and the profane, for those who kill their fathers or mothers, for murderers and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, according to the glorious gospel of the beloved God, of the blessed God, which I have been entrusted. So we have here verses 3 through 11, instruction to young Timothy on how to be and lead a place of truth. That's our theme for this series here in 1 Timothy. We want Calvary to be a place of truth. We want God's truth to be crystal clear, because when God's truth is clear, then all of the confusion and the temptations and the distractions, they fall away. So we want Calvary to be a place of truth. And if you're looking for a place to belong, I would suggest that's the best place to be, a place where the truth is central. Because there's all kinds of so-called churches in our day and age that do not hold to truth. And so, in finding a place to belong, I hope you have found Calvary to be a place of truth. And Paul is writing to Timothy, remember in chapter 3, the purpose verse that we went out, so that we would know how to conduct ourselves. And Paul says, what you need to be very aware of and make it a priority is to, number one, stop the false teachers. Stop the false teachers. Basically, protect the gospel at all costs. He says there in verse 3, I urge you upon my departure, and he's saying, stay at Ephesus, so that you will instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrine, and not to pay attention to these myths and endless genealogies. Stop the false teachers, Paul says. You need to instruct these men. And he's going to get even more clear as we progress through Paul's instruction to Timothy. But there's this opportunity that Timothy has, even at his young age, to really speak up and guard the church and protect the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls it the glorious gospel in verse 11 that's been given by God. And Paul says, protect it. It's a glorious gospel. And sometimes there are those who will come into the church and they will try to teach something contrary to truth. Now, Paul actually, you know, had experienced this. If you turn your Bible to Acts chapter 20, we have a very clear description from Paul, chapter 20 and verse 17. It says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. In verse 27, it says, for I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole purpose of God. 28, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Look in verse 29. These savage wolves will come in. They will set their target upon the church. Verse 30, and from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. In verse 32, and now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. So Paul here met with the elders at Ephesus, and he warned them of this very thing. This really tragic situation where from among the church there can be those who really come to the surface, people, as it tells us in this text in 1 Timothy, you can go back there while I speak for a moment, but people who will want to be teachers of the law, who will want to have a voice, even though they shouldn't. They don't understand the law, it tells us, but they'll want to have that voice. So Paul said, I'm going to be leaving, and this is what will happen. Well, sure enough, it did happen. And so Paul is now writing to Timothy saying, hey, the savage wolves came in. They want to destroy the flock, so I need you to stop them. Protect the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the nature of their error, we don't really fully understand. Verse 4 in 1 Timothy chapter 1 says that they pay attention to myths and endless genealogies. Now, the myths may be like old wives' tales. It could be from like a Jewish perspective. We're not exactly sure. These genealogies that are spoken of, some have suggested that that would be, you know, some of the Gnostic focuses that would have come to the surface, but most of the evidence is that those would have been later after this was written. So perhaps these were Jewish genealogies that these teachers were focusing on. Again, we don't have a lot of clarity. There's not really much extra material to help us understand what they were saying and what they were trying to advocate. All we know is that they were wrong. They were going against the truth. They were either adding to the gospel or emphasizing things that aren't important in the gospel message. And so Paul is saying, Timothy, stop them. Because what happens, they give, as we continue in verse 4, they give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. And so perhaps it was a focus of adding to the gospel and really trying to maybe advocate some sort of works doctrine. Again, we don't know. But the administration of God, which is by faith, there is a God. He's revealed life to us. He's provided a way for us to be right with him. And so look to his son Jesus for all that you need and all the hope that you could ever want. So it's this administration of faith that we must protect. And these teachers were going against it. If you would continue, we'll skip over verse 5 and come back to that in just a minute. Verse 6, he continues to describe, for some men strain from these things, from the administration of faith, from this glorious gospel, having turned aside to fruitless discussions, wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters which they make confident assertions. So Paul says, look, these guys have come from among the flock, and they want to destroy, and they're getting the focus off the gospel. So don't pay attention to them. Don't listen to them. In fact, instruct them to be quiet. They should not be teaching the law of God. They should not be teachers of the scripture, because the end result of their teaching is just mere speculation. And it's confusing. It brings fruitless discussions, it says at the end of verse 6. So do not listen to these men. Their desires, they're wanting to be teachers, even though they absolutely shouldn't. So Paul says, stop the false teachers. Protect the gospel at all cost. You know, bad teaching leads to bad health. Bad teaching leads to bad health. Good teaching should lead to good health if one has a heart that's prone to their Savior and wants to learn and grow. Good teaching should lead to good health. So we must be very, very careful the intake that we take in on a regular basis. And I realize today the resources are crazy. And that's why we want to put good resources in your hand. We have the Resource Center for that to happen. We want to be able to put good resources in your hand, because you can go to website after website and you can listen to craziness. Teachers of the law or teachers of the word that will teach things that are contrary to the glorious gospel. You can read book after book, and it's hard to go to a Christian bookstore and really have good discernment to know which author is really holding to the gospel and which ones are helpful and which ones are not. Good doctrine matters. We must be a place of truth, and so we want Calvary to be focused on protecting the gospel at all costs. Timothy was to do that as a pastoral team. We're called to do that, as it says in Acts chapter 20 that we read there, be on guard for the flock. So we need to be guarding the flock. And there may even be people here at Calvary that have a voice or want a voice, and really your perspective is wrong. And as a pastoral team, we're going to come beside you and we're going to encourage you to stick to the gospel. Don't lead us down paths that lead to fruitless discussions or brings confusion in any way. We're going to guard the flock, and we're going to try to help you. Maybe it's you're misunderstood, or you've gone and you've listened to the wrong voices. And so perhaps we got to bring you back. But maybe it's what Paul here was leading to the fact that, you know, you need to identify these guys and you need to get them out of the assembly. You say, well, that's really serious. Well, truth matters. We must be a place of truth. Their desire was to teach, and they had no business teaching. And James warns of this in chapter 3 and verse 1. James says, let not many of you become teachers, because you shall incur a stricter judgment. So the warning from God is to be very, very careful about wanting to have a voice and wanting to influence people for the truth. Now, we should continue to develop leadership, and God does gift certain ones for teaching, and with the right preparation, it's really part of the gifting to the church, and we want to develop that and encourage that, but we also want to understand the severity and the responsibility that is placed upon a person when they stand in front of the people of God and give out truth. We must protect the gospel at all cost. Paul will later in this chapter say, Timothy, don't be that guy. You stay focused on the truth. Stay focused on the gospel. Don't be that guy that veers away and then takes other people away with you. Look in verse 8. It says, but we know that the law is good. And so he gives kind of this description of the law in verses 8 through 11. And I just want to park here for a moment and really bring clarity that when the scripture says the law is good, We can't be a people who say the law is bad, right? So we're reading it in the text. The law is good. The law is our friend, really. The law is helpful. Now, for a true believer in Jesus Christ, we understand the right perspective of the law, or at least we should. Now, we sometimes are tempted to be pharisaical in our approach and judgmental, and so we put the law higher than what it should be and not through the grid of the gospel. But we don't want to listen to people who would say, oh, don't even talk to me about the law. We have to be very, very careful because Paul says the law is good, and he qualifies. If one uses it lawfully, realizing that the law is not made for righteous person, but for those who are lawless. And he has this description of a variety of people who are not walking with God or who do not know God in general. And so the law is actually really, really good and helpful. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24 says, the law is our tutor, but it's pointing us to Christ. So the law is for sinners, and we should understand the goodness of it. The goodness of the law is that it should make us feel crushed with our depravity. The law should show us how bad we really are. Because the temptation of our hearts is to think that we're better than what we really are. But the law reminds us that the standard is here and we all fall short of it. And there was one who came who actually met the requirements of the law, and it wasn't us. So the law is helpful. The law reminds us about truth. And it shows us that we are unrighteous. He gives these descriptions: rebellious, we're ungodly, we're sinners, we're unholy, we're profane. And then he gets a little bit more specific. So he generally speaks of the law of God being established by his holiness, and we fall short of that. But then he gets a little more specific. He talks about, really, sins that would fall under the categories that represent the Ten Commandments. And if you look back in the text, we can see here that we have in verse, let's see, here it is, at the end of verse 9 there. For those who kill their fathers and their mothers. Well, the Ten Commandments tell us, the fifth commandment, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. So the law helps us understand our sinful condition. The standard is honor thy father and mother. Our sin would take us all the way to the place where we would go so far against honoring that we would try to kill our mothers and our fathers. So the law helps us understand where we fall short. Continue in the passage there in verse 10, at the end of 9. For murderers, 10 commandments, thou shalt not kill. Verse 10, and immoral men and homosexuals. So we have thou shalt not commit adultery. We have sins that really help us understand. This is the standard. One man, one woman for marriage. And everything else reveals our sinful depravity, our immorality. Then it continues on. Kidnappers. Well, Ten Commandments tell us, thou shalt not steal. And liars. Going back to the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not bear a false witness. Right? So he's showing, he's illustrating how the law is good. It sets the standard of where we should be. Perjurers, again, with the false witness, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. So Paul just helps Timothy understand, hey, the law is really good. What it does for us is helps us understand how sinful we are. Because this is the standard in all of these areas that God has revealed his will to us. And yet man, because of our depravity, we commit all of these things here. And so the law is our tutor. The law tells us we are depraved. We need a Savior. And so it points us, as Galatians says, it points us to Christ. And where we find Christ, we find, as it says there in verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, of which I have been entrusted. So Paul says to Timothy, protect the gospel. Stop the false teachers. And I would say the positive would be then to focus, number two, focus on the gospel. Stop the false teachers, which is protecting the gospel. And then focus on the gospel, which is God's gift to us. And in verse 5 is where we'll end this morning. In verse 5, it tells us what the goal of instruction should be. So God's church is established so that those who have come to know God can understand all of the sound teaching. So the Great Commission, we make disciples and we teach all that God has commanded. So we help people understand all of God's will for their lives. That's the primary function as we come together as a church, that we hold the truth high and we try to understand it and how we relate to God's will in our lives. So the goal for our assembly and all this instruction, according to verse 5, is love. The goal of all this instruction is love. Biblical love. See, the false teachers were not motivated by love. They were teaching, they shouldn't have been teaching. They were trying to deceive. They were trying to add to. Their heart was not loving. The goal of our instruction should be that we are stirred up to love more and more. The problem is, for so many Christians, the more they know, because we still have our flesh and the remnants of the old man, the more we struggle with pride. So knowledge actually puffs up. That's what Satan's goal of knowledge would be. But from a biblical perspective, what Paul is helping Timothy understand, the goal of all the teaching is so that we would love. So it should bring humility into our lives. So the more that we understand how holy God is and what His will is for our lives, it should produce in us a love that is genuine. It's an agape love. It's a love that represents our God. Our kind, merciful, loving God. So this morning we have 13, I think, adult Sunday school classes. We have young people that have a variety of ages. There was a lot of teaching that went on this morning in the 9 o'clock hour. And in a given week, whether it be community groups and Bible studies and all kinds, we have to remember that the goal of all this instruction, all of this knowledge that we're gaining, that it is for us to love. Not just to gain more information, but it's to love our Savior more and more and love people more and more. So the more we're equipped, we can then encourage others who are hurting and struggling and need help. Not so we can look down on them because we're so great and we fixed up our lives so much and we've gotten the truth now and we have everything together and they need to get on board. Paul says, the point of all of this, week after week, we gather together, we spend hours together. We focus on truth. We study it. The point of all this is that we would love more. Is that what the truth is doing in your life? We all need to ask ourselves that. We need to be real honest with ourselves, whether we've been saved for 2 years or 15 years or 55 years. Has the truth of God that you have saturated your mind with for year after year, day after day, month after month, has it caused you to love people more? Because that's the goal. That's the message of the gospel. Jesus loves you. It's a glorious gospel. Why? Because we understand the law told us how bad we really, really are. And the only way to be right with the perfect God is to look to his Son. That's the glorious gospel. And if we will look to his Son, God forgives us. He takes away our sin. He gives us a new heart so that we can live for him. That's the glorious gospel. And if our teaching is not pointing us to that message, which is motivated by the love of God, then we're off track. We are severely off track. And Paul says, you want to know how you should conduct yourselves in the household of God? Protect the gospel. The true gospel. Which represents God's heart, which is a heart of love. Because when we understand that, the critical, judgmental, all of those things, it falls away. Paul says, Timothy, stay focused on the main thing. The goal of the instruction is love. And if you continue in verse 5, from a pure heart, and a good conscience, and a sincere faith. See, all of these things are possible because of the gospel. Jesus said, blessed are those who are pure in heart. Well, they didn't get that way on their own. That's when Christ changed their heart and infused the Spirit of God so that their heart could be pure. So with a pure heart, we can love other people. With a good conscience, the conscience is something that really is that faculty that God has given us to tell us right and wrong. The problem is our consciences can be trained. And we need our consciences to be trained with the Word of God. And many times they're trained by tradition or perspectives that aren't motivated by the gospel. And so our consciences can really be in a situation where they're not good. They don't represent Christ. That's the idea of a good conscience, a conscience that represents Christ, and that is clean because of what Christ has done in their lives, and it's his imputed righteousness that makes us clean, and a sincere faith, a faith that is unwavering in the midst of whatever we're going through, a true faith in our God. Not in the law, perhaps, as these men may have been advocating, or genealogies like who they were and their heritage. No, a sincere faith in God. And that comes when we have met Jesus personally. When we have personally met Jesus, he's changed our lives, and we look to him with the help of the Spirit and our glorious Father, and we keep going day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year. Just keep studying, keep learning, and keep growing. But we must remember the goal. The goal of all the instruction is love. Love for our God and love for other people. You know, it's our prayer as a pastoral team that Calvary continues to grow to be a place where God is honored. And he will be if the gospel is what flavors everything that we do, and gospel love actually characterizes all of our relationships, to hear that one family went to another family's house to minister and encourage and pray, that's exactly what Calvary is supposed to be. It's a healthy place, but it's built on truth. We don't give any ground. We don't change any doctrine. But it's the gospel that infuses how we view our doctrine. And it really energizes all of our activity. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So as we close this morning, I want you to ask yourself, what has all of the instruction that you've taken in throughout your life as a believer, your journey of faith, all the instruction, what has it produced in your life? And I'm telling you right now, 1 Corinthians 13 says, if you have gained all the knowledge in the world, but it does not involve love, you are just a big noise. Clashing cymbal. Because you can have all the knowledge in the world, but if you don't have love, from God's perspective, you're a big zero. So let me encourage you, studiers of the Word, and I know we have a lot here at Calvary who love to study the Word. And you have for many, many years. Stay focused on the gospel as you study the Word. Let that be what motivates then you to serve God. That gospel love that you have experienced in your own life. And hopefully you're giving it out to others. You're making a difference, not a deficit. Every person you touch, you're making a difference in their life. Would you bow with me and pray? God, please help Calvary not be a place where we're just a people who say we've been redeemed. We say we've experienced your love, but we don't live like it. I pray that we would protect the gospel here at Calvary. I pray that we'd be a place of truth, but that truth would produce the end that you desire in our lives. And that's that we would love you wholeheartedly and love each other selflessly. God, only you can do this work here. Thank you for what you're accomplishing in this season of time and how you're helping us. I pray by your grace it would continue. But each person, we must all, with your strength, Lord, we must all pursue this goal. So help us, we ask. In your name we pray. Amen.